Myers, it's my privilege and honor to be here with you today in our worship. A couple of basic announcements before we get started today. I want to bring everyone's attention to the Sunlight Christmas Bazaar. Sunlight is our youth choir and band that'll be up here and preparing for tour. That was as good as you guys could do this morning? There you go. Thank you. Sunlight, their Christmas Bazaar is going to be starting Saturday, December 1st, going through Tuesday, December 4th. The times and location are in your bulletin. Please come out and support the Sunlight Christmas Bazaar. All the money raised there does support the great mission work that they do by sending them on tour and the other work that Sunlight does. So please go forward and support them through their fundraising activities. It's also a time that we get to come together as God's family and say, welcome home. And why are we here? To worship God. And one of the many ways that we worship God here is at Trinity is supporting other local missions. Here in a moment, we're going to watch a video from Christians Concerned for the Community, a local group of young people that are working to support those in Alachua County who need a little extra help. So at this time, please direct your attention to the video screen.
Oh, I feel good.
Yeah?
I'm getting a pretty yard, and I love pretty things. Oh, that makes me happy. It'll be like something I like and enjoy. And y'all doing a good job, and I appreciate it. I would say the righteous prayer, the Lord here delivers.
Mm-hmm.
She delivered me.
Faithfully.
I'm thankful that I'm alive.
Yeah. Well, we think that helping you out by fixing up your house is the work of the Lord.
I do too. I know it is.
That's why we're here, yeah.
I know it is. Yeah, I appreciate you all for it too.
Again, Christians Concerned for the Community is our Mission Box Opportunity Day. The mission boxes are located at all the exits at the back of the sanctuary. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this week of Thanksgiving where we can pause to remember and to appreciate all that you have given us. Lord, we thank you for the grace given to each of us for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. But also, Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that you've given us to serve throughout the community and to assist those who spread your name both through word and through deed. Be with us now as we come together to worship you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Would you please stand and join in our opening hymns, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
above all other names. Please join me together as we affirm our faith. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of Man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as a divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth. Amen. Come to a time now as a church body, we can remember those joyous concerns in our lives, both spoken and unspoken. On the screen, we have a number of church members that are in the hospital or in rehab. We ask that you keep each and every one of these members in your own personal prayers as we remember them collectively today in our congregation. Please join me in a prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, we welcome you into our presence today. We welcome you into this week of Thanksgiving, a week that we have set aside to remember all those things which you have blessed us with that we are thankful for. Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless us. And you continue to bring to our minds all those things which you have blessed us with. Our friends, our family, this church, your grace and salvation. May these things be on the tips of our tongues and the tops of our minds throughout every day in all that we do. Help us to be your light unto the world, to share your love and grace and thanksgiving with all those around us. Be with us now as with one voice we lift up the prayer your Son taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we come to one of the most busy months of the year, December, I want you to get a concert on your radar that you are not going to want to miss. The Annie Moses Band is coming to Gainesville, to Trinity, on Wednesday, December the 5th at 7 o'clock p.m. The Annie Moses Band is a family who is from the Nashville area who travel together doing concerts. Several of the members of this family and band are Juilliard trained, so they are not slouch musicians. They're fantastic, and I could talk about it all day. But the best way for you to get an idea of who these wonderful musicians and this great family is for me to show you this quick video. I want to explain that as I was looking on YouTube for an example of who they are, you can find a number of their songs online if you go and look. Just Google the Annie Moses Band on YouTube, or look it up on YouTube. I guess it's different. But anyway, you can find the Annie Moses Band on YouTube. This promo is for their Christmas PBS special. So you know that they're nationally known if they're doing a PBS special. So just ignore the whole PBS special thing and know that they're coming here live on Wednesday, December the 5th. You can get your tickets through iTickets online. Just go to the Trinity website and look under the Trinity Concert Series, where you'll also see another promo. You can click to buy tickets online. You can get them back at the table back here. The Newts are back there selling tickets between services. And you can also get them from Tammy, the receptionist here at Trinity. They're only $8, which is less than a movie. So come and bring the whole family and enjoy this quick video clip of the Annie Moses Band.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's Christmas with the Annie Moses Band. Spend this Christmas with the Annie Moses Band, a heartwarming family special featuring timeless holiday classics, moving original songs, and the virtuoso talents of the brothers and sisters of the Annie Moses Band. It's an evening of music you don't want to miss. Annie Moses Band. This Christmas, exclusively on PBS, the Annie Moses Band, live in concert.
Looking forward to that. Hope you all will come. And other things need to be filled out in the back. And this Wednesday night is Advent Festival, big night here. I hope you'll come to that. And I have the joy of just sharing that one of our members, Eloise Lutz. Eloise, would you stand? Eloise just had her 90th birthday the other day. Eloise Lutz, congratulations. Good job. Now, will the rest of you stand and turn to somebody you maybe didn't come to church with and say, I'm going to have my 90th whenever you're going to have your 90th, if you know.
There we go. You give me buttons to push, I start pushing buttons, you never know what's going to happen. But luckily I always have my good friendly pastor to give me lovingly instructions. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this opportunity to give back a portion of which you have given us. During this Thanksgiving season, we again rejoice in the blessings of time, talent, and gifts that you have given us. Make this time that you bless not only the monetary gifts, but bless each one of us as we go out and serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Oh, in faith, I wonder if I
Thank you, Sunlight. And I want to mention that one of the wonderful things, that privileges I've had the last 4 or 5 years, for 4 years I was chair of the board at Asbury Seminary, and during part of that time, Ellsworth Callis was the president, so we worked really close together. Ellsworth may be one of the best preachers in another generation. He's almost 90 as well, and I just want to acknowledge that his influence on this sermon today, this text is something that I've heard from him, and I want to appreciate what he's meant to me. This sermon, or this text, comes from 2 Samuel 19, verses 18 and following. By the way, I'm getting cataract surgery tomorrow morning, and I'll be really glad to have it done. They say it's just routine if you're not the one who's having it. But anyway, I get the right eye tomorrow, and 2 weeks later, the left eye. And I am so ready because you all look really fuzzy to me out there. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king and said to him, May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I've come here as the first of the whole house of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king. Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed. David replied, What do you and I have in common, you sons of Zeruiah? This day you have become my adversaries. Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Do I not know that today I am the king over Israel? So the king said to Shimei, You shall not die. And the king promised him on oath. The subject today is knowing who you are. I remember somewhere in my teenage years, and we had a great youth group in my little church, and often one of my friends said it relieved us from a lot of the sort of tragic fallout that a lot of kids go through in college because it was such a great youth group. But in there, I remember hearing this phrase, reading this phrase from Socrates, know thyself. And I thought, wow, that's a great idea. And I spent a lot of my life trying to know yourself. The challenge is, how do you know? And that's understanding who we are. We go through these iterations. And, you know, I don't ask young people anymore, I try not to ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? Because nobody knows what they want to be when they grow up. It's a challenge. And then all through your life, you're still discovering who you are. I remember years ago when Jen and I were married, had children, I was in graduate school, I was a husband, I was a father, I was a student, and I was a pastor. I was trying to balance those identities, and you know what I'm talking about. You do the same sorts of things. And then under that category of pastor was, okay, administrator, leader, preacher, caregiver, a number of issues, and who are you? If you know who you are, life is so much better for those around you. And if you don't know who you are, life is sometimes miserable for those around you. I met on Monday our new bishop, Kenneth Carter. He's most recently from North Carolina. I think he's going to be a really fine bishop. And my impression of him, he's not overly dynamic, overly impressive, but I said to a friend of mine, he's comfortable with who he is. And when you're comfortable with who you are, you tend not to mess things up for other people. Some of you have had a boss, perhaps, who didn't know he was or she was the boss and had to prove it by taking it out on other people. But if you know who you are, so this Ken Carter, I think, is going to be all right. I noticed yesterday in that football game, I don't know if you watched that one at 3:30 yesterday afternoon, I know you watched that late one last night, too. I think the Dove commercials now, they're trying to move out of the women's soap to the men's soap. And so they had John Elway and Doug Flutie saying, I'm comfortable in my skin with Dove soap. I'm going to go out and buy some, maybe. In this story of David was the great king of Israel. No doubt about it. If there were a Mount Rushmore in Israel, David would be on it. Maybe Solomon. Not sure of anybody else. Maybe some of the prophets. But David was the quintessential king. That's when Israel was pulled together. That's when it had its glory days. He was an incredibly gifted leader, administrator, but not such great in his private and family life. He had some challenges. And there came this time near the pinnacle of his reign where his son Absalom rose up in rebellion against him and mounted a palace coup. In fact, it was dark for David. It wasn't sure who was going to win the day, whether David was going to survive this palace coup or not. In fact, there was a period, right two chapters before what I read to you today, where David is leaving Jerusalem. His son has run him out of Jerusalem, and so he and a small band of faithful followers are leaving the city of Jerusalem, and they get just to the outskirts, just over the hill, and this fellow Shimei, who is of the tribe of Saul, and part of the family of Saul, has had all of this hatred and anger build up against David for many years since David supplanted Saul. And when David, in his weakness, comes down the hill, Shimei is there, and he shouts at him and he curses him, "You terrible person, you're getting what you finally deserve. You have blood on your hands. You're awful. May God curse you." And one of the soldiers by David said, "Should I kill him?" And David said, "No, even my own son, I mean, this is minor to my own son trying to kill me. You don't need to kill him. Maybe this curse is from God and maybe there'll be blessing in it." And he drags on, and Shimei did what we see on the news often in Palestine, the Middle East, where he picked up rocks and dirt and threw them on the king. And David went on. And the scripture says he came to his destination exhausted. I have a feeling it's both physical exhaustion and emotional exhaustion. And then within a day's time, Absalom has been killed. David's son has been killed. The insurrection has been destroyed. And David comes back a few days later into Jerusalem as the king again with great power and regalia. And who's one of the first to fall on his face in front of David? Shimei. And Shimei says to King David, "David, I'm the first to come. King, please forget about what I said the other day. I didn't really mean it. You're a great king. I was out of my mind. Please don't remember this against me." And the guy beside David said, "Should I kill this scoundrel?" David said, "No. No one shall die today in Israel. I know I am king. Therefore, no one needs to be killed." When you know you're king, no one else has to die. When you know who you are, no one else has to be put down. When you know who you are, you lift others up. You don't put others down. You say, "Well, David knew he was king. He wore the crown." Not everybody who wears the crown knows they're king. In a few weeks from now, in the season of Advent near Christmas, we'll read about the Christmas story. We'll read about King Herod, one of the most paranoid kings ever. When the three wise men said to him, "There's a new baby born who's going to be king of the Jews." In his paranoia, in his insecurity, he had all the male children of that age in Bethlehem killed. If you know who you are as a king, nobody else has to die. Nero the same way. Peter the Great, this gigantic figure in Russian history, opened Russia to the West, did amazing things, but had an inner insecurity and had his own son killed. And not just leaders, but you see it day in and day out with people you come in contact with. If you know you're king, others don't have to die. If you know who you are, others don't have to take a fall. Jen and I, and many of you, were so impressed with the movie Lincoln and Daniel Day-Lewis, and particularly Sally Field, so impressed with Sally Field. I said to Jan, let's go to the library. Let's get that movie that she did years ago that so many people have talked about. I've never seen. It's called Places in the Heart. Do you remember this movie? It's a great movie. Sally Field's a great actress. She and her husband are trying to take care of this farm out in West Texas of another era. Her husband dies suddenly. She wonders, how am I going to keep this farm? The banker comes to foreclose on the farm. There's an African-American man who shows up, Danny Glover. And he wants some food. She says, okay, I'll give you some food. And while she's getting the food, he takes some of her silver. And later on, the police bring him back and say, we found this guy and we think he has some of your silver. Is this your silver? We'll put him away. She said, oh, yes, that's my silver, but I gave it to him. She stood up for him. Sheriff shook his hands. Danny Glover stays there. He wants to work for her. She said, I can't afford it. He said, I want to do something for you. And so he works the farm. And they, in the moment of before foreclosure, they pick all this cotton by hand. It's an amazing story. And they are the first to bring their cotton in. They get a prize. Everything goes really well. He beats out another farmer down the way. A night soon thereafter, he sees a light on in the barn, and he goes to the barn to shut it off, and then he hears something. He turns and sees three or four men with white hoods over their heads. And he starts to run the other way, and he sees three or four more men with white hoods over their heads. And they converge on him and beat him up. Would have killed him probably, except another person came to save him. When you know who you are, you don't beat other people up. You don't need to. You don't need to live in fear. When you know you're king, nobody else has to die. In the movie Lincoln, it struck me. I was shocked that some Northerners were so against the 13th Amendment of emancipation of all slaves. And there was some debating and shouting and angry stuff. And some people just could not bear to say the phrase, all people are created equal. And one said, if we say that, it will mean women will get vote one day. Or black people will get to vote one day. If you know who you are, you don't suppress other people. You let them live up into their princeliness and princelessness. You know who you are. And in the midst of some of these intense moments, God raises up an Abraham Lincoln who was so comfortable in his own skin. He had that self-deprecating humor. He told funny stories. And he saw the grandeur of the human race, a government for the people, by the people. He knew who he was. So he didn't have to put other people down. Ellsworth Callis, who I mentioned, he tells the story of years ago he was watching a television show, and it was about a doctor serving in medicine in a country in Africa, a very impoverished country and very primitive conditions. And there was a young doctor who arrived a few weeks earlier, and they were working together, and finally, the young doctor said, I can't take it anymore. I can't deal with these primitive conditions. I can't stand the inadequacy. I can't stand the ineptness of the people around me. Don't know what they're doing. And they don't even know how to pronounce my name. And the old doctor says, I know my name. When you know your name, it doesn't matter if somebody else knows how to pronounce your name. It happens to ministers sometimes, doesn't it? It's happened to me at various times. If you're insecure, if you don't know who you are, I've seen it, I've read about it, I've known it. Ministers come in and because, even though they have the title, they think they have to change everything in the first week, first year. I remember an incident when I was in Titusville. Jan and I, the family, had just gotten there, and I was fresh from... I'd been in Fort Lauderdale for a couple of years, but I just fresh from having got a PhD at Princeton. Thought I was hot stuff. I just had my dissertation published. I had another book published. So I was there to wow the people. And this young person, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade, came into my office. Secretary, my assistant, let this person in. And this person said, you know, I've asked several people this theological question, and they've never done it, but since you're a Princeton grad, I'm sure you know the answer. And so I loaded this person up with brilliance. And I thought I'd carry the day until this young person left the door cracked just enough for me to hear her say to the assistant, he didn't know the answer either. You know, you need that every now and then. People who don't know who they are put others down. People who know who they are lift others up. If you don't know you're a king, you try to control. If you do know you're a child of the king, you release. If you don't know, you try to manipulate. If you do know, you accept. If you don't know, you try to use law to control. If you do know, you use grace. If you don't, you try to use constraint. If you do, you experience love, amazing love, beautiful love. You're a child of the King. Today is, it's a little known fact, but today is Christ the King Sunday. We don't often make a big deal of that. It's in the Christian calendar. This is the last Sunday of the Christian year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of the Christian year. It begins with Advent. It makes sense, doesn't it? But this is the last Sunday. It's Christ the King Sunday. And it was instituted to remind people that we follow the King of Kings. That if we call upon Him, we become children of the King. We know who we are. That we serve Christ and Christ alone. That Christ is sovereign. Christ is King. Powerful. Powerful. One of you sent me a video the other day, well, several months ago, and I didn't know when to use it, but I want to use it today. It's called This Is My King. Maybe you've seen it. It's the voice is S.M. Lockridge, powerful black preacher. I'd like you to watch this video and think about Christ the King, and then I want to close it out. Would you show it for us?
The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And He's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know Him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define His limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know Him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know Him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and He saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and He guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He rewards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And He purifies the meek. I wonder if you know Him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him. But yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Is he your king? Amen. Amen. Is he on the throne of your heart, or have you let him slip to the side? Bring him back. Put him in the central part. I've wondered how do we get to know who we are as a child of the King? Family is so important. I'm so grateful for the families and the ministries of this church, the Sunday school, the sacred rites of the church, baptism. We hold this child up and call out this child's name. That's who you are. You're a child of grace, of unbounded love in this community of faith. The sacrament of Holy Communion, confirmation, mission trips, all of these things. And the King comes to you and me today and says, I've got food for you on the way. It's my body broken for you. The gift of life. He can be your king today, or he can be renewed as your king, and the blood of life shed for you. Would you pray with me? God, you are our king. Christ, you are our king. And when we know it, when we live it, others around us do not suffer, do not feel harm. So restore your kingship in my life and in our lives today. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand, dear friends, as we sing our closing hymn and come and receive the gift of communion if you would like. We invite you to come.
Giver of immortal gladness. mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning o'er us, finding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of
somebody's hand, would you? Receive the benediction. Hey, Hadley. Now may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.